You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
Reports say that Deloitte has been hacked. A Verizon AWS S3 bucket is found exposed online. Lockheed is being spammed out in quantity. Phantom Squad hoods run a DDoS protection racket. Kinetic tensions in the U.S., Tehran, and North Korea raise expectations of cyber offensives. Chinese intelligence is thought behind the CCleaner backdoor. Some unnamed ISPs are accused of Finn Fisher spyware campaign complicity. And Carlos Danger will go to the big house. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Monday, September 25th, 2017. This morning, The Guardian broke the story that Deloitte had been hacked. Deloitte is both a Big Four accounting firm and, like its peers, a leading provider of cybersecurity consulting services. The firm was compromised through an admin account in October or November last year and discovered the breach in March 2017. Investigation is ongoing, but Deloitte is being tight-lipped, saying only that few clients' information, including emails, was exposed. Six clients are said to have been notified so far that they may have been impacted by the breach. When they were notified is not clear. It appears that Deloitte's Microsoft Azure account was compromised. Azure is Microsoft's cloud service, similar in function to its competitors Amazon Web Services or Google Cloud. The admin account, through which the hackers gain their entree to the cloud account, appears to have been secured only by a simple password and not with any form of multi-factor authentication. Exactly how the hackers achieved access is not publicly known. The incident is said to affect mainly customers in the U.S. The information exposed to compromise includes emails, including client emails, and possibly usernames and passwords, IP addresses, and business and health information. Some of the content at risk is thought to include sensitive security and design information. Some observers believed something was up when Deloitte retained Washington law firm Hogan Lowell at the end of April in connection with some unspecified cybersecurity matter. That matter now appears to have been this breach of Deloitte's Azure account. This is another breach at a high-profile enterprise, Equifax, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and now Deloitte. In another unfortunate trend, an Amazon Web Services S3 bucket has again been found exposed to public access. This one involves a fumble at Verizon, where the U.S. telecom giant left server configurations and other sensitive information hanging out on the Internet. The exposure was found by security researchers at the firm Cromtech. The compromised material appears to involve, for the most part, internal Verizon wireless systems, specifically Distributed Vision Services, DVS, which is a middleware system that exchanges data from Verizon's backend to the front-end apps Verizon staff uses in stores and call centers. Cromtech and UpGuard are the two security firms who appear to be dining out on their assembly line discovery of exposed cloud services. It's unfortunate they have so much raw material to work with. More cyber extortion waves continue. One of the more notable is a large spam campaign distributing the venerable Locky ransomware. Another is more of a protection racket. The crooks of the Phantom Squad group are shaking down companies with the threat of denial of service attacks if they don't pay up. DDoS prevention shop Cloudflare says it's about to launch a new service that will make distributed denial of service something you only read about in history books. Good luck to them. We hope they're as good as their word, and we'll watch developments with interest. As observers goggle with continued astonishment at Equifax's handling of its breach, some look to Belgium for an alternative model of credit reporting that presumably handles consumer data in a more consumer-friendly fashion. International tensions over Iran and North Korean missiles and nuclear programs prompt concerns about the coming waves of cyber attacks from the two countries. In the case of Iran, U.S. skepticism about that country's compliance with a nuclear arms control agreement is seen as offering Tehran an opportunity to undertake a fresh campaign of cyber attacks. It's either a pretext or provocation, depending on whether you view the matter from Washington or Tehran. Iran has shown some capability in both espionage and sabotage, and its abilities in both areas are generally held to be on the rise. In the case of North Korea, the tensions that are believed likely to find expression in cyber attacks are being increased by Pyongyang's recent round of long-range missile and high-yield nuclear weapons tests. The weapons the DPRK has been testing are thought to be either full-blown thermonuclear devices or, at the lower but still very dangerous end, boosted implosion weapons. There's been little in the way of diplomacy and evidence from either Pyongyang or Washington. Recent North Korean cyber activity has for the most part concentrated on theft, either in the form of raids on cryptocurrency wallets and bank accounts, or in the form of aggressive and illicit Bitcoin mining on other people's servers. Avast thinks the backdoor insinuated into its CCleaner security software was probably put there by Chinese intelligence services. Kaspersky and other companies looking into the incident attribute the hack to APT-17, the threat group also known as Deputy Dog, a departure from the customary naming of Chinese threat groups after pandas. Kaspersky also sees a tie to the cyber espionage group Axiom. Novetta regards Axiom as an umbrella organization engaged in coordinating espionage on behalf of the Chinese government. The back door in CCleaner appeared designed for use against major Western tech companies, and this too is consistent with Chinese intelligence services' long-standing interest in intellectual property and industrial espionage. ESET is looking at the spread of FinFisher spyware and has concluded that major internet service providers in affected countries were complicit in spreading the lawful intercept product into targeted devices. ESET declines to name the countries where they observed this campaign, citing concerns for the safety of people in those countries as grounds for its reticence. FinFisher has seen considerable use by relatively repressive regimes. And finally, in the latest high-profile conviction of a prominent politician on charges related to online misbehavior, disgraced New York Congressman Anthony Weiner has been sentenced to what the New York Post trumpets as hard time. It's not good for the former representative. He got 21 months in prison this morning, but it's not exactly hard time either. He'll be serving his sentence, in all probability, at a minimum security federal institution, where he won't exactly be breaking rocks in the hot sun or working on the chain gang, but it's a swift and deep fall nonetheless. Weiner apparently had hoped to escape jail time even after his conviction for engaging in suggestive chats online with underage girls. Hope springs eternal, evidently. After his departure from Congress and public apology, Mr. Weiner sought political redemption in a run for mayor of New York. His campaign, never a front-running one in the Democratic primary, cratered when it came to light that he was still misbehaving under his old nom de mort, Carlos Danger.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com.
And I'm pleased to be joined once again by Chris Poulin. He's a principal at Booz Allen Hamilton Strategic Innovations Group. He heads up their Internet of Things security team over at Booz Allen. Chris, welcome back to the show. We wanted to talk today about connected automobiles. Let's just start with some basic things. If I head out today and I buy myself a brand new car, what sort of vulnerabilities do I need to worry about?
Well, it's kind of interesting because right now there haven't been any at least publicized attacks on vehicles. And the reality is that there are all kinds of ways that cars could be attacked. You know, some of it is because of the complexity of the software and firmware in the vehicles right now. In fact, they say that there are approximately 100,000 lines of code that run a modern luxury automobile. And I believe Ford said in their F-150 that they have 150 million lines of code because now those pickup trucks are effectively offices on wheels. Yeah. I don't know how you quantify how vulnerable a vehicle is because that's sort of a general thing. But in terms of the different types of vulnerabilities that we get concerned about are obviously if somebody can hack in through the telematics unit, which keeps the car connected back to the automaker, and then jump from the in-vehicle infotainment system, you know, so basically the area in the car where you're tuning the radio and setting the seats, you know, and things like that. If they can jump from that, as we've seen in some demonstrations in the past, over to the CAN bus, then effectively you can control just about any aspect of a vehicle. So the brakes are all controlled electronically now. Engine components are controlled electronically. Steering now is controlled electronically as well, by the way, for lane departure assistance and things like that. You know, it's funny because the autonomous vehicle, self-driving, all the auto manufacturers are getting in on that game. It's, you know, there's lots of reasons why we should all be driving self-driving cars, or actually that's the wrong way to say it, that the cars should be driving themselves. But one of the things that's kind of, I think people get a little bit scared of is that there are far more sensors in self-driving cars now and far more actuators, things that actually can take control of the car and do things. So the sensors themselves obviously are sampling the environment. So what cars are ahead of you? What does traffic look like? What is the environmental factors? Is the road wet or not? Are you departing from the lanes? And if you can trick those sensors, you can actually cause the car to react in a way that is false, at least in terms of the physical reality of what the road is presenting to the vehicle. So that's one way, right? So it's almost like an external, to some extent, you can actually be outside of the car and present it with perhaps a picture that you project onto its video camera or into its LiDAR sensors that make it believe that the road curves to the left when in fact it goes straight, or that there is no car in front of you when in fact there is, you know, and so you rear-end it. And so that's part of it. The other one is if you can actually break in, as I pointed out before, because everything is becoming more by-wire driving instead of manual controls, and which is kind of a harder thing for an attacker to do, obviously, is to actually get in and take control of the car by invading the CAN bus. They can also accomplish the same thing. The thing that I always caution people, you know, and I'm not a big fan of fear, uncertainty, and doubt, is that at least at the moment, there's not a lot of motivation for an attacker to cause harm to passenger vehicles,
right,
unless you're some sort of high-profile target. And I think probably more to the point is that the vulnerabilities are going to be about cybercrime, which is perhaps they'll find some way to put ransomware on the car and keep you from being able to start your car until you pay half a Bitcoin or something like that. So I think that's far more likely in the future. So we should be worried about it, but probably not as worried about the safety aspects as we are about potentially the economic impacts of nobody being able to go to work.
All right. Interesting stuff as always. Chris Poulin, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. And now a word from our sponsor, Netskope. Netskope is a worldwide leader in SASE and Zero Trust. Its unified platform, Netskope One, provides optimized access and zero trust security for people, devices, and data anywhere they go, helping customers reduce risk, accelerate performance, and get unrivaled visibility into any cloud, web, and private application activity. To learn more about how Netskope helps customers be ready for anything on their SASE journey, visit netskope.com.